they're just trying to fucking scare people, and you know, but why shoot people? You know what really pisses me off is the fact that they detain people, cuff them, and then still beat the out of them. They tell you it's immigrants, only immigrants. It's anybody.
Sounds like you don't fit the definition of the.
No, and I'm not paid to be here like everybody says. What the is that? I gotta work in the goddamn morning, just like everybody else. I'm just here trying to stand up for community, dude. We're all human beings here. I don't give a who you are, where you came from, what color you are. It doesn't matter. This is wrong.
Yes, it is. Very wrong.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Not that they'll stop.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. Yes, we got your back, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We're also heard coast to coast and around the globe on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. And also, I should add, the new acting president of Venezuela. Welcome to the Bradcast. Delighted to have you here. Digby and Driftglass are standing by to join us momentarily, hopefully to discuss a whole bunch of stuff as they join us for the first time in the new year in an otherwise terribly slow news week. Also, Desi Doyen's latest Green News report later in the hour, if time allows. Hello, Desiree.
Yes, hey, hopefully time does allow.
But before we get to them and all of that, since I suspect most have not seen this video in full, this full plea from Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz on Wednesday night as his state is now under federal siege. And as things quickly deteriorate, thanks to the cruelty and violence now being visited upon the great people of Minnesota by the Trump administration's goon squads. And since, especially, I want to make sure that our listeners on AM 950 up in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the surrounding areas hear it and know that we have their back, here is Governor Walz on Wednesday night calling out ICE violence and provocation, demanding an end to the deadly federal occupation of his state and imploring Minnesotans to both stay peaceful in their protests and to document the atrocities that are now being visited upon them right now, not just for history, but, he says, for eventual future prosecution.
My fellow Minnesotans, what's happening in Minnesota right now defies belief. News reports simply don't do justice to the level of chaos and disruption and trauma the federal government is raining down upon our communities. 2,000 to 3,000 armed agents of the federal government have been deployed to Minnesota. Armed, masked, undertrained ICE agents are going door to door, ordering people to point out where their neighbors of color live. They're pulling over people indiscriminately, including US citizens, and demanding to see their papers. And at grocery stores, at bus stops, even at our schools, they're breaking windows, dragging pregnant women down the street, just plain grabbing Minnesotans and shoving them into unmarked vans. kidnapping innocent people with no warning and no due process. Let's be very, very clear. This long ago stopped being a matter of immigration enforcement. Instead, it's a campaign of organized brutality against the people of Minnesota by our own federal government. Last week, that campaign claimed the life of Renee Nicole Good. We've all watched the video. We've all seen what happened. And yet, instead of conducting an impartial investigation so we can hold accountable the officer responsible for Renee's death, the Trump administration is devoting the full power of the federal government to finding an excuse to attack the victim and her family. Just yesterday, six federal prosecutors, including the longtime career prosecutor leading the charge to investigate and eliminate fraud in our state's programs, quit their jobs rather than go along with this assault on the United States Constitution. But as bad as it's been, Donald Trump intends for it to get worse. This week, he went online to promise that, quote, the day of retribution and reckoning is coming. That's a direct threat against the people of this state who dared to vote against him three times and who continue to stand up for freedom with courage and empathy and profound grace. All across Minnesota, people are stepping up to help their neighbors who are being unjustly and unlawfully targeted. They're distributing care packages and walking kids to school and raising their voices in peaceful protest, even though doing so has made many of our fellow Minnesotans targets for violent retribution. Folks, I know it's scary, and I know it's absurd that we all have to be defending law and order, justice, and humanity while also caring for our families and trying to do our jobs. So tonight, let me say once again to Donald Trump and Kristi Noem, end this occupation. You've done enough. Let me say four critical things to the people of Minnesota. Four things I want you to hear as you watch the news and look out for your neighbors. First, Donald Trump wants this chaos. He wants confusion. And yes, he wants more violence on our streets. We cannot give him what he wants. We can, we must protest loudly, urgently, but also peacefully. Indeed, as hard as we will fight in the courts and at the ballot box, we cannot and will not let violence prevail. You're angry, I'm angry. Angry's not a strong enough word, but we must remain peaceful. Second, you are not powerless, you are not helpless, and you are certainly not alone. All across Minnesota, people are learning about opportunities, not just to resist, but to help people who are in danger. Thousands upon thousands of our fellow Minnesotans are going to be relying on mutual aid in the days and weeks to come, and they need our support. Tonight, I want to share another way you can help. Witness. Help us establish a record of exactly what's happening in our communities. You have an absolute right to peacefully film ICE agents as they conduct these activities. So carry your phone with you at all times. And if you see these ICE agents in your neighborhood, take out that phone and hit record. Help us create a database of the atrocities against Minnesotans, not just to establish a record for posterity, but to bank evidence for future prosecution. The third thing I want to say to you tonight is, we will not have to live like this forever. Accountability is coming at the voting booth and in court. We will reclaim our communities from Donald Trump. We will reestablish a sense of safety for our neighbors, and we will bring an end to this moment of chaos, confusion, and trauma. We will find a way to move forward, and we'll do it together, and we'll not be alone. Every day, we are working with business leaders, faith leaders, legal experts, and elected officials from across this country. They've all seen what Donald Trump is trying to do to our state, and they know their states could be next. And that brings me to the fourth thing I want to say tonight, Minnesota. How incredibly proud I am of the way that you've risen to meet this unbearable moment. But I'm not at all surprised, because this is who we are. Minnesotans believe in the rule of law, and Minnesotans believe in the dignity of all people. We're a place where there's room for everybody, no matter who you are or who you love or where you came from. A place where we feed our kids, we take care of our neighbors, and we look out for those in the shadows of life. We're an island of decency in a country being driven towards cruelty. We will remain an island of decency, of justice, of community, of peace. And tonight I come before you simply to ask, Don't let anyone take that away from us. Thank you. Protect each other. And may God bless the people of Minnesota.
That was Minnesota's wartime governor, Tim Walz, of Minnesota on Wednesday night, shortly after his call for an end to the federal invasion of his state. A federal agent shot and injured an immigrant in Minneapolis, an incident that subsequently touched off clashes between protesters and law enforcement, as the New York Times reported it last night. Just 1 week after an immigration agent shot and killed a 37-year-old mother, Renee Nicole Good, in her car in the very same city. I would tell you how DHS spokeswoman Tricia McLaughlin reports what happened, as the New York Times does, but she is an unapologetic liar who has lied about these incidents time and again, as proven by video after video, and I see no reason to give her a platform to liars on this program, even if they represent the federal government. After sharing it anyway, the Times reports the federal government's narrative could not be immediately verified. A social media post from the city said a reported shooting occurred on Minneapolis's north side and that local officials were working to confirm the details. As word of the latest shooting of a city resident by a federal official spread, protesters gathered near the scene, with some yelling that the federal agent should be arrested. Several heavily armed Border Patrol agents arrived in a large military vehicle, military-style vehicle, outside of the crime scene tape, just as a small, loud, angry protest was growing there. The protesters eventually forced the agents to retreat, and as they left, not to save themselves or to try and stabilize the situation somehow, but as they left, the agents fired at least two canisters of gas that made a loud bang and made it difficult for some to breathe easily. A few minutes later, at least two ICE agents arrived in an unmarked SUV and sprayed chemical agents in the faces of protesters who approached them, causing one to keel over and say that he could not see, according to the Times. A Minneapolis police officer who identified himself as a supervisor to several protesters told them he did not know exactly what had happened. Quote, "It's not like they're talking to us," he said, referring to the federal agents on scene. A non-protesting father of six trying to get away from the area Wednesday night said a law enforcement officer threw flashbangs and tear gas at his vehicle, which contained his six children. The man was interviewed by local media outlets, including Fox 9. He told interviewers that he was trying to leave the area with his wife and their six kids, aged 6 months, two of them 4 years old, one 7 and one 11, when their minivan came under attack. Quote, "The officer knew I was trying to leave," the man told media, "and they threw three flashbangs at my car, hitting the outside and under my car," he said, saying the vehicle then began filling with smoke. "My six-month-old can't even breathe. My car filled with tear gas, and I'm trying to pull my kids out of the car. I'm telling the officer I need an ambulance." All six of the children were hospitalized by paramedics. The man's wife posted on social media that they had just left their kids' basketball game, stopped at a grocery store, and were heading home when they noticed the commotion around the scene of the shooting. Federal immigration agents have flooded the Minneapolis area in recent weeks, angering residents and local officials, for good reason, I guess. Before and after the shooting of Renee Good, as agents have been seen on videotape breaking car windows, forcing men and women alike, including one disabled woman, out of their cars and onto the ground, in the streets, at gas stations, inside Target stores. The number of ICE and CBP officials now in the Twin Cities area dwarfs the number of all of the cops combined in the 10 largest police forces in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and its surrounding suburbs. Shortly before the latest shooting was reported on Wednesday night, of course, Governor Tim Walz gave his speech calling on the Trump administration to end this occupation. Those remarks came just one day after Trump posted on his failing social media site on Tuesday in all caps, quote, "Fear not, great people of Minnesota. The day of reckoning and retribution is coming." On Thursday morning, following the latest shooting by ICE officials, in another social media post, Trump threatened, quote, if the corrupt politicians of Minnesota don't obey the law and stop the professional agitators and insurrectionists, carefully chosen word, from attacking the patriots of ICE who are trying to do their job, I, he said, will institute the Insurrection Act. Almost like invoking the all caps Insurrection Act was what he wanted all along. Joining us now to help us make sense of this somehow, and if time allows, several of Trump's other threats and attacks on foreign nations, including allies like Greenland, are our old OG blogger friends, Heather Digby Parton of Salon and Digby's Hullabaloo blog, and the man known only as Driftglass, or sometimes Bill. He is the proprietor of the Driftglass blog. He's the co-host with his wife, Blue Gal Orfran, of the Professional Left podcast, recorded each week, as they like to say, from the cornfields of flyover country, Illinois. Hey, guys, belated happy or not so happy New Year to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Same here.
All right. Well, Heather, it sure seems like this is what Trump has been trying to get at all along. He couldn't spark an insurrection or anything like it that he could even declare falsely to be an insurrection in Los Angeles or Portland or D.C. or Chicago. So he's just going to, you know, create the conditions for something that looks like an insurrection, even though it's ICE doing the insurrecting, it seems, in Minneapolis, so he can declare one. But if so, to what end? What is this all about, and why is he even doing it, Heather?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think we know what my feeling is that this, we all know that this is Stephen Miller's baby, right? I mean, this is his thing. He's been wanting to do this apparently since he was in junior high school.
Okay, so why does he want to do it?
I think just he wants to rid America of immigrants. This is it. He's not being coy about it. He's not trying to hide it. He wants them all gone. They're talking about, you know, I'm hearing numbers on the right now. They're talking 30, 40 million people. They want to deport legal immigrants, you know, recent immigrants, people here, and, you know, under amnesty, temporary protected status. They're doing all of that.
Okay, look, so why? How many U.S. citizens do we have to shoot in the head in order to do that?
As Gregory Bovino and others have said, Gregory Bovino being the
top
Customs
ICE
and Border
thug.
Patrol
yeah,
guy,
right?
It's collateral damage. I mean, if you throw in your lot with the immigrants, you are going to be hit too. And now they're calling these people, like, you know, Renee Good, they called her, a domestic terrorist. Now, we have to keep in mind that this is all being set up, which this is, again, this is Stephen Miller. Trump's, you know, building his stupid ballroom and mm-hmm. doing Greenland and this, you know, I mean, he's certainly for all this. He likes it, but he's not really involved in the details. This is Miller. They've set up this thing. They put out a couple of executive orders and this other thing, which is a national security memo, which carries a lot more weight than an executive order does, in which they declared that they were going after, quote, domestic terrorists, which is actually the first time anybody's done that. This is not something, even back in the, you know, war on terror days, did they put out one of these. And they define that as people who are helping immigrants and are giving material support to immigration groups and protest groups. And I think we know what that means. That's Renee Good, right? And that's where they're getting this domestic terrorist thing. So it's also to go after those people. That's the political enemies of people like Stephen Miller and Donald Trump and, you know, the administration and the MAGA people,
so,
generally speaking.
So to get to the immigrants, we've got to go through the non-immigrants. Is
yes.
that essentially
and
what
yes,
the thinking
and
is?
Yes, and it's all part of the same big package of just, you know, a straight up, you know, authoritarian fascist takeover of the federal government to govern through force, coercion, bribery. You know, this is an anti-democratic government that's doing this. And so by putting on this big show, and it's a big part, the show is a huge part of this. And by the way, it was in other fascist cultures as well. I mean, think about the shows that they used to put on back in the 30s mm-hmm. in Germany.
Sure.
It's a big part of it. It's a whole aesthetic around this stuff. And that's what they're doing with by you know, putting all these ICE agents dressed in all this, you know, cosplaying gear that they have and having them wear the masks and be intimidating. They're telling them to do this stuff. And it's a matter of, you know, creating this show of force that's supposed to scare people. But I hate to tell them, you know, I'm here, you know, Minnesota is known as Minnesota Nice, right? They're the place where everybody's friendly yeah. and you eat your cheese curds and drink a beer. And, you know, this is not the kind of, it's not LA. Okay.
Well,
and
yeah,
I live in LA. So, you know, I'm not, it's not saying no, you know, diss on us, but yeah. I'm just saying it's not.
Yeah.
And look what's happening.
And
you've
you
got
saw-
a, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, you saw, you know, you heard at the top of the show there sort of, you know, Joe Lunchbucket saying, what
exactly.
the hell is going on here?
That's what's happening. The white guys are coming out and going, wait a minute, what the hell?
Right.
So that's, you know, it's Uh-oh. Not going the way they planned it. You know, not going the way they planned it.
Speaking of white guys, Driftglass, you got yeah. any got any thoughts on why Minneapolis, of all places, you know, seems to be where Trump wants to touch off his insurrection act, or why he really wants to declare it so badly in the first place?
Well, you got to start at the beginning, I suppose. And remember, everything that's wrong with the lives of the MAGA crowd mm-hmm. is because of a vast liberal conspiracy that extends everywhere. The media's in on it. You're in on it. I'm in on it. Heather, you're a leader of it. So congratulations. You're going up against the wall first. I'll be right behind you. But, yeah.
I'm a wine mom, too, from way yeah. back.
Well, there you go. See, just trouble everywhere. So there's a vast, this is the lie that the base has been fed for, you know, since the 80s, that there's a vast liberal conspiracy to get them. And everything wrong with their life is because of the liberal conspiracy. And getting rid of immigrants is part of the agenda to get rid of the liberal conspiracy, because we on the left love our immigrants. And therefore that's why we are domestic terrorists, because we don't want them to get rid of immigrants. And so casting the left as domestic terrorists is all part of the larger agenda of fulfilling the promise to the MAGA base that I will solve all your problems by getting rid of anyone who stands in our way. And to get to the immigrants, we might have to kill a bunch of people or run them over or throw them in jail. But that's just part of the deal, because they're the problem and we need to get rid of the problem.
And so why Minneapolis of all places? I mean, we got, you know, plenty of liberals ready to be lined up against the wall here in Los Angeles. I mean, we're mm-hmm. easy targets. Why Minneapolis? Any idea? You're not far from Minneapolis there where you are in Illinois.
Well, there's a Somali community in Minneapolis that's an easy target. There's a lot of hatred for that community mm-hmm. sparked by Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He has called their country not even a real country and a bunch of things that I can't say on a family radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're an easier target. And Chicago has a whole bunch of large people and a lot of fast-moving individuals who won't put up with this, who will laugh at you. And so if you can throw, what is it, like 2,000 goons in, and they're surging in another 800.
Yeah, 3,000 now. They're up to 3,000.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just invade them, and that's why what Tim Walz was doing was so important, because he was talking to everybody. This was a smart message, because it wasn't just okay, you and me and the rest of us who are on the side of the angels. This is a bad thing. He was talking to the larger audience.
Yeah.
He was talking to Americans, and this is. Going back, Digby was talking before we went on the air about Wallace and the South. This was the important part of the civil rights movement, getting those network TV cameras to come South and film what was actually going on, the fire hoses and the dogs and the Jim mm-hmm. Crow nonsense. Because Northern America didn't want to hear about that and didn't know about it. And there's a whole bunch of people in this country who have no idea what's going on in Minnesota. And that's why putting your phone on your hip and raising it up every time there's an ICE goon doing something wrong is important.
Mm.
And that's why Tim Walz speaking to a broader public is important, because you're right, Minnesota Nice. This is Minnesota, man. What are these people doing up in Minnesota? It's such a dumb place to start the revolution, because it's so counterintuitive that it kind of works in the favor of Tim Walz just saying, look, man, get out of our state. You're hurting people, and talking not just to Minnesotans, but to all the disinterested white guys
yeah.
who are suddenly like, what the hell's going on up there? Why is this happening?
Well,
and providing them with an explanation of why it's happening. It's because Donald Trump's a fascist and Stephen Miller's a fascist. And they really, really want to keep your mind on the domestic terrorists as opposed to the Epstein files,
yeah,
which is the big lie, the big promise that Trump has broken to the base.
Yeah, he really didn't like it when someone called him a pedophile protector,
no,
did he?
No, he did not. No.
And it's also interesting that, you know, the courts blocked him from deploying the National Guard into some of these cities. And make no mistake, Trump lost that battle. He had to, you know, fully remove the troops from cities like L.A. and Portland and Chicago, where y'all in Illinois actually stopped him from even putting foot there in the first place. Mm-hmm. But he's sort of showing he doesn't really need a National Guard. He's got these military armed thugs. You wouldn't know them from the National Guard, other than the National Guard wouldn't do this crap, I would like to think. And he's got a budget for these thugs that are now, you know, larger than many nations' entire militaries. But talking about America knowing about all of this, seeing all of this, I was Digby poking around at the Fox News website this week. And they are also furious over there about what's happening in Minneapolis, but they are furious at the protesters, who they now describe constantly over on their Fox website as agitators. It's like they did a website find and search and replace function. Seriously, to remove the word protesters and replace it with agitators. It is everywhere. So, you know, they're showing their version of all of this over on Fox News. Is that going to be enough to win the American people over to the administration's side here? Or are people really going to, are they seeing this really for what it really is?
Well, I think that this shows the sort of weakness in the right-wing media, in that it only targets the right-wing media. And as a result, what you're seeing in the polls is that the people who are tuned into that stuff, Republicans, and the majority of them, roughly about 80% of them, are in support of what ICE is doing, mainly because that's what they're seeing, all about the agitators. And they're not seeing on Truth Social, you know, the video that we're all seeing on every social media that we're on, from X to Blue Sky to TikTok, Instagram, all of it. It's just a relentless show of these videos of the brutality that ICE is inflicting on the people of Minneapolis. So people are seeing that, and the polls are reflecting it. ICE is not supported. I mean, this is really huge. The amount of, you know, the difference between where people were a year ago on ICE and where they are now. The American people, and that is virtually every Democrat and a huge number of independents, are absolutely rejecting what ICE is doing. They don't like it. They're seeing it. I mean, this is, you know, this is normie stuff. Really.
Are they going to like it better when he invokes the Insurrection Act? Is that going to win him over?
I think that's going to be a big mistake when he does that, because I think people are seeing this. The shooting of Renee Good was a pivot point in this whole thing, because here you had, we all saw the video, and something like 85% of everybody, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, have seen that video. And anybody with any sense can see that that woman did not deserve to die. And even worse, they can see that the idea the government is not going to even remotely investigate that shooting and attempt to have some kind of a fair sort of, you know, investigation. Everybody can see exactly what's happening there. It hurt them badly. There's Renee Good being this, you know, rather average, you know, 37-year-old blonde woman, yep, mother, mom, you know, yeah, being in that situation, that absolutely turned people off. But I got to tell you something, though. Stephen Miller is out there saying, he's telling these ICE agents, and he did it on Fox yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security is sending this stuff out on social media, that ICE officers have total immunity, and that anybody who lays a hand on them or tries to stop them or obstruct them is committing a felony. He says, you have immunity to perform your duties, and no one, no city official, no state official, no illegal alien, no leftist agitator, as you say, or domestic insurrectionist can prevent you from fulfilling your legal obligations. And if they do it, they are facing felony charges and they will face justice. That's Stephen Miller saying that, and he's saying it over and over and over again. And that's what's coming down for ICE. Mm-hmm. So they are being given a license to kill. Yeah. That's what we've seen, and that's what people are seeing. And I don't think Americans like that. I really don't.
Although I do note that you said, referring to the Insurrection Act, when he invokes it, not if he invokes it.
Are we really thinking that he's not? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, he may look at all sides here and decide to do the right rational thing, as he usually does. Triff Glass, I've long argued that that he's getting weaker, not stronger. We've discussed that, I think, on this show. That he does seem to be losing not only his marbles, but, you know, actual issue after issue in poll after poll. But that also means that as things get worse for him, he is going to lash out even more. Is that now what we are seeing? In other words, though he thinks he's a strong man, are these the acts of someone who is actually strong or someone who is actually weak? And increasingly so. I know it's disturbing to see all of this, but in one sense, it's a sign. I think it's a sign. He's kind of losing it.
Yeah, he's losing it. It doesn't matter because Stephen Miller is, you know, puppeteering him and getting what he wants. This is what Stephen Miller wants. He wants a fascist regime in the United States to make us a pure Aryan, whatever nation. That he's right, since he's been dreaming about this since high school. And Donald Trump is the vessel for this. You know, he is the delivery system for Stephen Miller's agenda. And he is weak. He's weaker every day. And weak, you know, a cornered rat is a dangerous rat. And that's what he is right now. He's finding limits to his power and limits to people's tolerance of his power. And if I may say so, one of the biggest groups of people who took a massive hit this last couple of weeks are the both sides do it people.
Yep.
Because, man, I watched, if you don't mind me saying, Jonathan Capehart on PBS, sitting next to David Brooks. Jonathan Capehart looked like he wanted to strangle that man by his pink tie. Because in response to the shooting of Renee Good, Mr. Brooks, this is all about your don't give a platform to liars. He trotted out a 1951 football film and said, you know, there was this film of this game between two schools, and it was shown to each school, and each school thought the other school got the benefit of the doubt from the refs. And, you know, it all depends on your politics. Oh. You know, people see everything through the rim. All of my Trump friends see one thing, and it's all politics, and I'm going to reserve judgment because who really knows what happened?
Oh.
And I'm like, this clown has been telling this lie on PBS and NPR and the New York Times for 25 years. And you know what? Now the bitter harvest of that lie is coming true because now, finally, it's obscene to say things like that on the air. And now those people have to shut their hole when they talk about this stuff. Because you're right, everyone saw what they saw. And what sort of, you're a fascist if you defend it. But you're equally as bad if you say no one can really say because both sides.
I hear you, but I really still do wonder if everyone saw it. If the clever folks, the clever editors over at Fox News were able to cut things into, they were breathing fire, man. There was blood coming out of their eyes on the Fox News set this past week as they were talking about these protests. I'm not kidding. I mean, they are furious that these agitators are coming into Minneapolis and are standing up for rapists and, you know, child molesters and, the worst of the worst that these people are in support of rather than the great patriots of ICE.
Yeah, you got to keep stoking the fire of the people that are still with you.
And they're doing it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Now, I got to get to a break here. So very quickly, we're barreling toward another government shutdown at the end of this month. Republicans do not seem yet ready to restore the subsidies that they cut to the Affordable Care Act. But now there is the question of, among Democrats about whether they should agree to any budget that funds essentially Trump's Gestapo force here. And that is really what it has become. What should their stand be on that with another, you know, budget deadline now about 2 weeks away to keep the government open? Is abolishing ICE for good, as they are saying, a stand that they should take and that the American people would stand in support of or against right now, shutting down the government to abolish ICE? Bill?
We don't fund fascists in this country, period. Full stop. Shut it down.
You sure? Okay, shut it down. Heather?
I'm for that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think there might be a bit of a protest there for a while, maybe a few days, but I'll be shocked. if they actually do it.
If the Democrats stand up and say we're not going to
actually, I see very little evidence that there's an appetite for another government shutdown, seriously, for any reason. However, having said that, it's going to make people so mad that in the next election in 2026 and in 2028, this is going to be a huge issue. And the Democrats had better get on the right side of it.
Yeah, they better. All right, let's take a quick break here. We will come back with Heather Digby Parton of Salon Driftglass of Pro Left Pod. And, well, we'll talk about everywhere else that Donald Trump is attacking or promising to or something. Greenland, Venezuela, Iran. We'll see what we have time for. And Desi Doyen and the Green News Report all straight ahead on today's Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
This can't be real. I've never seen a greener green than that. Sea salt air I'm breathing brings life back together. We're alive and free, holding hands on the beach, and I remember what it is to be so green.
Boy, is Trump going to be pissed off when he finds out that Greenland is actually covered entirely by ice. The good kind of ice, by the way, not his federal Gestapo crew. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from Bradblog.com with the great Heather Digby Parton of Salon and Driftglass of the Pro Left Podcast. So less than 2 weeks ago, incredibly enough, Donald Trump invaded Venezuela. He killed a bunch of people. He kidnapped.
What?
He kidnapped his president. He declared that he would now be running the country for the foreseeable future, and that the U.S., or actually he, now personally owns and controls the largest oil reserves in the world in Venezuela, and would be keeping proceeds from the sale of their oil in his own offshore bank account in Qatar. All of that sounds totally legit. By the way, at the White House just moments ago, the opposition leader to Venezuela said that she presented Donald Trump her Nobel Peace Prize to recognize his greatness or some such. But apparently she still doesn't get to be president of Venezuela. Donald Trump does. In any event, ever since then, Trump has been threatening, promising, in fact, to take control of Greenland, a NATO ally, as a territory of Denmark, one of our closest European friends, putting the world on the precipice of destroying the largest, most successful alliance, not just in modern history, but in human civilization, in the bargain. At the same time, the Iranian regime has cut off the internet in the nation's capital of Tehran and has reportedly killed anywhere from hundreds to more than 10,000 anti-government protesters who have been filling the streets there. Trump recently sent them, those protesters, those anti-government protesters, a message on social media on Tuesday. He said, quote, "Iranian patriots, keep protesting. Take over your institutions. Help is on the way. MAGA. Make America great again, I guess.
Make
Iran great again." But then on Wednesday, the very next day, he declared, quote, "The killing in Iran is stopping." So apparently there's no need for U.S. help after all. Right-wingers are now furious at him about that, saying, no, the killing has not stopped. So with all of that in mind, Driftglass,
yes,
pick one or more of your favorite international Trump disasters or threats or broken promises or whatever these are. I'm not sure what to even call them anymore. And help me understand what the bleep is going on here, please.
If you want to become the Roman Empire, you had damn well better be as savvy as Caesar Augustus, and you damn well better have a military that is trained to do that thing. Conquer countries, hold territory, maintain the frontier. We have neither of those things. We have an incompetent fascist idiot, And we have an army that is not trained and is very much the opposite of what the Roman army was all about, no matter what Pete Hegseth says. So Donald Trump looks at big map, sees stuff he wants to grab it. It's not much more complicated than that. Greenland, big, close, me want that. And there is no way for him to put troops into Greenland that would not automatically kick in the NATO pact that would bring, I believe, 31 countries down on his neck. Now,
and would those 31 countries actually come down on his neck? Would actually go against America, the most lethal fighting force in the history of the world, according to Pete Hegseth? I mean, are they really going to go to war with America? Because I think a lot of this is he thinks he can get away with this because, well, it seems like he can get away with this.
Well, there's 50, 60,000 people living in Greenland, something like that. So he could get away with it. But what it would do is it would permanently divorce the United States from the rest of NATO. They might not do it right away. I think it would be silly to sort of announce in advance that you're going to do this. But I would guess that the leaders of NATO would simply say, okay, we're done, quietly divorce themselves from the United States. And at that point, we would never, ever be trusted by any country ever again.
So the alliance would continue amongst them, but we would be out?
Yeah, we're done. I mean, and that would be fine with a lot of the MAGA people who don't believe the rest of the world really exists anyway,
right,
or to feed their egos. So,
right. But
it would be a long-term disaster for this country for the rest of my life.
Digby, what happens to NATO if Donald Trump ignores everyone? And as he seems to be insisting, it's, again, not a question of if, but when. That he is going to take that country. He feels that is his property. So I wonder what you think will actually occur at that point with NATO. And do you have a theory about why he's so obsessed with taking over Greenland?
I do have a theory.
Okay.
I agree completely with Driftglass. I think he's totally right on what will happen if Trump goes ahead and does this. It's a disaster. It will have completely upended the world order as we've known it in the post-war world. Everything changes.
Are you saying that European nations are going to fire on U.S. troops?
No, I don't necessarily. I mean, you know, who knows? It depends on what happens. But that's the end of the Western alliance.
Yeah.
And it's the end of our understanding of how the world is supposed to work, which is, you know, I mean, they never thought that the United States would ever challenge, much less threaten or take over a NATO country. And that's essentially what he's talking about doing. And that just everything is different then. And, you know, Trump thinks it's 1880 or something. I mean, he and half the people he's around have this delusional idea that, well, we can go back to the old imperial thing, the Monroe Doctrine, and we'll do this and that, and we'll take over Venezuela, Colombia, Cuba, whatever. There's one little difference between then and now, and that's called nuclear weapons. And that is the reason why at the end of World War II, after two of the bloodiest wars in human history, and the development of that, you know, existential threat of nuclear war, that we decided to create this whole system, right, which would be this bulwark against, fascism and totalitarianism. And, you know, it was touch and go, but we did it. You know, we actually created these institutions and these alliances that help that. He's just blowing it up. And it's mainly because he's too stupid to even understand what it is. Now, what do I think his reasoning for it is? He's legacy building. This is basically the ballroom on steroids. Is what Greenland is.
Mm.
He saw the map, you know, the Mercator map once, and this is in the Susan Glasser and Peter Baker book.
Mm.
He saw the map, which of course is distorted, right? The one where they spread out the whole globe on a flat surface.
So it makes
Greenland looks huge.
Yeah.
It looks like it's like the size of Canada, or you know,
never,
I mean, it's insane.
He never saw that one West Wing episode, did he?
He didn't. And so this is what happened. I mean, this is that's documented that he saw that, went, wow, that's really big. And so, you know, it's not, but that's what he thinks. And he wants to put his name on that. I mean, he thinks it's going to be like the Louisiana Purchase. And don't kid yourself, he wants to rename it. I mean, he renamed the Gulf of Mexico, the Defense Department. Mm-hmm. You think he's not going to rename the territory that he seizes? I mean, this is what he wants to do. I mean, he put up that stupid thing saying he's the acting president of Venezuela, you know, the other night on his Truth Social. Yep. This is what's in his head. And so that's what this is about. It's a legacy building thing. And he's just taking over everything he can, whether it's the golf courses in D.C. or Dulles Airport or Venezuela or Greenland. And he wants to put his stupid Trump logo on everything. And that's all it is. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with national security. And we know that because we have total access to Greenland already, if we want it, if we need it. We had 16 bases there for decades through the Cold War. We can put them back up. They're not going to stop us. So it's not about anything other than that. It's about him. It's about his stupid logo.
We ran a cartoon in our Sunday Tunes a couple of weeks ago that Greenland, to protect itself, has renamed itself Epstein Island.
Keep
Trump
away. Bomb him from space.
Keep him away. He never heard of it. Digby, then quickly. I'm sorry, Driftglass. We spent a bit of time on the show yesterday. Yeah, you're right. Talking about Venezuela with foreign relations expert Nicholas Grossman of the University of Illinois. Why any of that is happening? What was that about? Just 12 days. It wasn't about oil. It wasn't about drugs. We know all of that now because he, pardoned the drug guy from president of Honduras who brought 400 tons of cocaine into the U.S. None of the oil companies want anything to do, it seems, with going into this nation where they did not change the regime. They just kidnapped the president, left the vice president in place. So what was that about as you see it? Why did he do that one?
You think the logic of it matters to him? That's adorable. No, he wants to squat on a large oil supply. Digby's right. He thinks it's 1880s. It's everything's steam-powered, oil-powered. And biplanes are going to zoom into Greenland. He wants it. He wants the stuff. And he needed to bomb a bunch of boats out of the water to prove that there's a threat. And he needed to move troops down there. And he wants to own a country and tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. The fact that he pardoned a drug dealer who was also a president means nothing. I mean, he pardons lunatics all the time. He wants what he wants. He's a big, empty pit of appetite. And that's all he is. And it's like, oh, oil, good. The future is oil. Future is oil, coal, and steam.
And doesn't it also show, and this has been my argument from the beginning on this, it simply shows that he did it because he can do it, which
exactly.
means he yeah. can do it anywhere else. It sends the message that he can do it anywhere else, just like shooting, Renee Good in the face and then hiding this this ice guy so that nobody can touch him. We can do it. We can shoot mm-hmm. you in the face. We can attack your country and take it over. We can remove and kidnap your president if we want to. And I will personally control those funds in my pocket in Qatar.
Brad, yeah. when you're a celebrity, they let you do that.
Yeah. Well, apparently I think it is. And I think it was very much about sending the message to the rest of the world that he can, whether they get that message or believe that message or are willing to push back, I guess, remains to be seen. Iran is really a case. It's quite interesting because he's, threatened, oh, help is on the way. I'm going to come help the government protesters there. And now he seems to be backing off because he seems like he's kind of taco chickening out
His buddies objected, the Saudis and the UAE and all that. They said, yeah, Don, maybe not.
Are you saying they have more power than Lindsey Graham?
I think they might. I just think they might. Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. All right, one more prediction before I let both of you go. We talked a little bit about the government shutting down at the end of this month. I think you said that Driftglass that they didn't have much of an appetite for that, but. Will they shut down anyway at the end of this month? And and will you come back and keep us company here on the show if they do?
Of course.
All right. Driftglass, Digby, are they actually going to, you think they're going to shut down or not?
I don't. I mean, if they do, I think it's very short term. I think after the last one, I just don't think there's any appetite for it. And the truth is that the big issue that the Democrats want to take into the election is the subsidies, and they are working feverishly to try to get something through, and they might just do it. If that happens, then there's no shutdown. If it doesn't happen, well, maybe that's a different story. But I don't think they want to do it.
Drift glass, shutdown or no shutdown?
They should, but they won't. And the fight is over the midterms. Everything is pointing in that direction now. And so all Democrats' arrows are pointed in that direction, which is highly appropriate. And it's about all we have.
All right, fair enough. We will have you both back right around that time, whether they shut down or not. Heather Digby Parton, her work can be found at salon.com and digbysblog.net. You can also find her on Blue Sky at digby56. You can find Driftglass at driftglass.blogspot.com. And, of course, you can download ProLeftPod.com. He is also on the Blue Skies at Driftglass. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. Talk to you soon.
You bet.
You bet.
All right, Green News Report is next. This is the Brandcast.
You're listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.
All right, Desi Doyen, we didn't get to hear much from you there for the last block or two.
Well, we didn't have a whole lot of time.
No, we didn't. As we don't, still,
yes.
For our latest Green News Report.
This is not good news. It's quite concerning.
New climate reports show unprecedented run of global heat. The oceans are getting hotter, too. Plus, court rules Trump illegally blocked clean energy grants to blue states.
All of those outrages and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It was a beautiful spring-like day here in New York. All that global warming is finally paying off.
This is your Green News Report.
New York buses, keep idling.
All right, Desi Doyen, the year is just days old at this point, but already we've got some new record numbers coming in.
Yes, unfortunately we do. 2025 tied with 2023 for the second warmest year ever recorded globally since record keeping began in the mid-1800s.
So close.
The hottest year on record remains 2024. That is according to NASA, Europe's climate service Copernicus, and other analyses using different methodologies ranked 2025 as the third hottest year.
Well, Copernicus is a bunch of liars.
But only NASA's announcement did not mention climate change or greenhouse gas emissions.
I wonder why.
A 2025 record means that each of the past 11 years has been among the 11 warmest years on record, in line with scientists' predictions of where we would be today. Last year, global warming, driven by humanity's burning of fossil fuels, brought deadly record heat waves, catastrophic wildfires in California and Canada, extreme storms, and record flooding in Texas, Asia, Africa, and Europe. The past 3 years also mark the first time that any three-year stretch has crossed the threshold of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, underscoring how quickly the climate system can change, as one Berkeley Earth scientist put it to Inside Climate News. However, we have not technically breached the target set out in the Paris Climate Agreement, defined as 20 years above the 1.5 degree baseline.
So we have to keep this warmth for several decades before we break the goals of the Paris Pact.
Exactly. And that is where we are headed.
Yes, we are.
Research indicates that such extended warming will likely mean the end of nearly all global glaciers and coral reefs, marking a danger zone for accelerating damage and destruction of ecosystems, food supplies, human health, and infrastructure. Copernicus director Carlo Bontempo warns the world will continue to see increasing extreme weather events over the next several years.
The real game we have in front of us is how to manage the overshoot above 1.5. And our decision on what to do will change the shape of the overshoot and will change the kind of risk we will face in the decades to come. So if we want to limit the warming, we need to limit the emissions into the atmosphere.
Well, I guess it's a question if we really want to limit the warming.
A separate study focused just on the oceans confirmed that the oceans got even hotter in 2025. The oceans absorb more than 90% of the excess heat trapped by humanity's emissions of greenhouse gases. The international team of researchers found that the world's oceans absorbed a record-breaking amount of heat last year for the ninth year in a row. Ocean temperatures serve as a critical indicator of long-term climate change, and scientists warn the ocean's accumulation of heat energy is fueling extreme weather events, destabilizing marine ecosystems, increasing coral reef die-offs, and contributing to rising sea levels.
Other than that, it's all good.
Well, there are a few bright spots of
really?
Better news.
Really?
Yes, California is no longer in drought for the first time in 25 years. After a string of atmospheric rivers over several weeks refilled the state's reservoirs and built up mountain snowpack that stores water for the dry summer months. And finally, a federal judge this week ruled that the Trump Energy Department acted illegally when it canceled nearly $8 billion in grants covering hundreds of clean energy projects in 16 states that did not vote for Donald Trump in the 2024 election. The judge determined that the Trump administration unlawfully retaliated against the Democratic-leaning states while grants in red states were spared, and that violated the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. The grant supported hundreds of clean energy projects, including battery plants, hydrogen technology projects, upgrades to the electric grid, and efforts to capture carbon dioxide emissions.
And now they must be restarted, at least until the U.S. Supreme Court says it's okay to go ahead and punish those Democratic states.
We'll see, but for now, the lower courts are holding the line.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to as we head into the danger zone, don't forget to check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Thank you very much, Desi Doyen, our producer. Thanks as well to our guest today, Heather Digby Parton of Salon, Driftglass of Pro Left Pod, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it for free at bradblog.com, where you can hit a donate button to help us stay on your public airwaves, or go straight to bradblog.com/donate. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, I am TheBradBlog. See you there. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.